Hey guys, it's Rachel Colasino. I know Jeff normally starts the show, but I have something quick I wanted to ask. We have started Inspired Intentions with the goal of reaching as many people as possible and touching as many lives as possible, and you can help us with that in a really short amount of time. I have three requests for you. First would be, please leave us a review anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Leave us a comment. Let us know what we can do better or what you're enjoying. And number three, please share Inspired Intentions with anyone in your life that you care about. Thanks as always for listening.
Welcome to the Inspired Intentions podcast with Skyterra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Rachel Colasino.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, I'm going to paint a picture for you.
Let's do it.
Okay, so you wake up to the sound of your alarm clock. You get out of bed. You start your morning routine, which we've talked about before.
Yeah.
I know it's very important for you.
Crucial.
You walk your dog, or maybe you go for a run.
Yes.
Silent the whole time. You get home. You check the thermometer outside to see what the temperature is. You grab some breakfast, maybe you turn on TV, listen to the news, maybe you read your book, do your breathwork practice.
You know me so well.
And at that point, when you get in your car to go to work, the only person you've communicated with so far that day is your wife and your daughter, the people who live in your house. You drive to work, maybe you listen to the radio. You don't know what your friend from high school had for dinner last night. You don't know what's trending on Twitter. You don't know about any fires that might be burning at work. You don't have any texts from friends or coworkers. Social media does not exist. You head into work, and until you cross the threshold of Skyterra, you have not communicated with anyone again except for the people who live in your house. You start with your day with your intentions intact, your priorities are intact, and nothing has distracted you.
I like this picture.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this about technology?
This is about digital well-being.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And we're going to talk today about creating healthy boundaries with your technology, which I think is really important.
And so that's kind of the picture that our life could look like if we start to create those healthy boundaries.
Exactly. But and it sounds like not that long ago.
It doesn't.
And yeah. We'll talk about that.
I think we can all get there, hopefully, with our guests that we bring in today. And this reminds me. I always think about this. Since the topic is technology, you know how there might be aliens?
Yeah.
Like, some people believe in aliens.
Some people do.
I don't know if our executive producer does.
I think he does.
But when you think about this, do you think the aliens think the humans are in control? Or are the cell phones in control?
Ooh, that's powerful.
That would be a big question that when I meet an alien someday, I'm definitely going to ask it.
Let's introduce our guest.
Yeah, I heard this guest doesn't like some of our jokes.
I heard that too.
Didn't you? Yeah.
We should make some more jokes this episode.
We will. This is going to be a fun one.
So we're really excited today. We have on Patrick Davis, who's Skyterra's Director of IT and Sales. Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And something great about Patrick, I work very closely with Patrick. So I am...
What do you mean? You're in another state a lot of the time.
We are on video chat. Feels like a lot.
Most of the day.
So welcome, Patrick. We're really glad to have you here.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
How'd we do in the intro?
You guys did great.
Okay. So nice. let's get right into it. We're going to talk today about how digital devices affect health and, again, how we can set those boundaries. How do what we have in our life in terms of technology, how does that affect us?
Well, I mean, if you think about sort of how technology has changed over the last decade, we're now carrying around a mini computer,
mm-hmm.
a mini computer that is a lot more powerful than the entire space shuttle of the 1980s. So
that's nuts.
It's also delivering you constant information all day long, and we view that as being something that's good, but it can get a little bit out of control and start to lead to behavior that you may not really enjoy. And so when do you guys think smartphones were actually developed. Like, when was when was the first iPhone launched?
Okay, so launched. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they started a little bit earlier before it was launched.
It feels like forever and also not that long ago at the same time.
2006? 2007.
Ooh,
so
okay.
Yeah, very, very close. 2007 is when the very first iPhone was launched.
Hmm.
And if you think about from the 2007 until today, how those phones originally when they came out were, you know, they were a luxury item. Very few people had them. And now... almost, I mean, can you name one person that you interact with on a day-to-day basis that does not have a smartphone in their pocket? Right now on Earth, there are 3.5 billion smartphones, which is basically 45% of the population has a smartphone in their pocket in any given moment.
And that is nuts.
And they're always with us.
Yes, absolutely. They're always with you. They're constantly giving you... you know, sound alerts, vibration, information, and the problem is when they start to sort of take over, and they're not a tool anymore. You're sort of just being, you know, using the.
Well, I think controlling you like the aliens think.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I think often what Patrick's getting at is sometimes you don't even know you're using your phone. Like, sometimes these behaviors are happening.
Yeah.
And they're just part of your life because now you own a smartphone and it's right there in your pocket.
You have a notification, it pops up, and you feel like you have to respond to it.
I think it brings in that, you know, phrase of handling the urgent always versus the important. And that's what I do think technology has done to a lot of folks, and that they're always kind of receiving these notifications, they're checking them, and sometimes it doesn't allow them to, like, push forward how they want to be living just in general or how they want to be performing in their workday or their presence with, say, their family.
Are you saying that almost everything feels like it's urgent and important at the same time?
Oh, yeah. Patrick, like, how many times does someone check, like, their cell phone in a day? Do you have, like, a rough estimate on that?
Yeah. So most people check their phone between 50 and 60 times a day.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, you know, if you think about, I mean, that's at least two or three times an hour throughout the day. And oftentimes, you know, that would be in a 24-hour cycle. And if you're sleeping for eight of those hours, then...
Well, most people are only sleeping about six these days.
There it is.
Yeah.
but, and each one of those phone unlocks or checking that device, it takes you off task of what you were doing, you know, from the period before. And in a lot of cases, those, you know, unlocking your phone once will lead to unlocking the phone several times in a row because you're either waiting on a piece of information or you can even get what's known as ringxiety, which is you're constantly...
Whoa, ringxiety.
Yeah, have you ever either thought you heard your phone chime or felt a vibration in your pocket and when you go to pull it out, there is no notification? That is ringxiety, and it's your brain is anticipating those notifications coming in.
Ringxiety. Is that in Webster?
I believe so, yes.
It is.
It's got to be at least in the Urban Dictionary.
You know what? Oh, this is interesting. I actually read this. I do think it might not be in the dictionary, but like eye text neck, they're starting to create phrases for how human posture is developing as a result of how we're looking like at our iPhone. So just with that slumped head forward, those shoulders rounded, it's literally changing the way we're living.
And the phone can be, I mean, if you look at how many phone numbers you carry around in your head, you know, it is an incredibly, it does free your mind up to do things and not have to remember information that is readily available and stored in the phone now. But the problem comes along with some of, like, you know, the social media and some of the other apps that are just, well, like, Instagram especially is one that it's what's known as like an infinity pool. And it's an app that you can basically scroll forever.
Days.
You'll never, ever, ever run out of content on Facebook, Instagram,
Twitter,
Reddit, Twitter, whatever it is. And so you end up having that sort of go-to anytime your brain wanders a little bit, you look down at your phone and you immediately start scrolling through those apps.
You know when you're like in bed, and this was a bad habit I got into once, is like I'd bring my phone to bed and you start scrolling and you're like, oh, I'm about to go to sleep. I just got to check that one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep scrolling.
And then
you
half
keep
an hour
scrolling.
Later.
Yeah. And that's kind of that dopamine response is like what Patrick was alluding to with like those notifications is you're getting that dopamine hit like every time you use your device.
Can
exactly.
I ask you, Jeff, is that why you moved your phone to across?
Yes. And
which we've talked about in our...
Might have been the morning routine.
I think it was
episode.
The morning routine, yeah.
Yeah, because everyone's using their phones as their alarm clock. I read from a sleep book that about 70% of people use their cell phone as their alarm clock.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so that obviously in a lot of episodes we talk can delve deeper on how that might impact sleep. But just having these boundaries, like specifically in the evening time, is probably something important for most of us.
And mm-hmm. just since I got us off track, I just want to take us a little further off track.
Great.
And then I will bring us right back.
Yeah.
And that is,
no worries.
I was so excited to introduce Patrick. Mm-hmm. I forgot to say his title. So
oh, no worries.
Patrick is Skytero's director of IT and sales.
Mm-hmm. He's got some street cred.
He really
for this
does.
Topic. Basically, on our team, if no one else can figure it out, it definitely gets pushed to Patrick more times than one.
Patrick knows.
Yeah, he like can figure out these things really quickly too.
Yeah.
Specifically, when it comes to like technologies, like I'm pretty sure he creates at least a spreadsheet a day.
at least.
That might be not accurate. However, he is a spreadsheet master.
He really is.
I'm always impressed.
So, Patrick, I heard you mention distractions. How distracting are our digital devices?
I mean, a lot of it has to do with what apps you may have installed or sort of what you use your phone for. Every time you sort of pick up your phone, it can become... When you're waiting in a waiting room or in mm-hmm. line or whatever, it's fine to pick up your phone and glance at there to sort of pass the time a little bit. But the problem comes into play when you're in a meeting
mm-hmm.
or when you're trying to have a conversation with somebody or, you're trying to process information and you find yourself constantly looking down at your phone, opening it up, mindlessly scrolling through content. And it's almost like, have you ever been reading a book and then you realize that you've been scanning the lines, but you haven't,
you have to go back.
Yeah.
You have to go back a paragraph or even a page or two. But that can happen, you know, with those apps where it's just this subconscious sort of almost like a knee-jerk reaction of like, I have a down moment, open my phone, start scrolling.
That's a great word, subconscious, too, because it reminds me of when I leave my phone at home, and I'll do it intentionally sometimes. Like I might go get a haircut, and I'll actually try to bring a book in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
However, say you go out and you don't have technology, you don't have a book, you don't have something to kill time, you actually actively, I think, subconsciously reach into your pocket trying to find that,
mm-hmm.
and it almost can create some uncomfort level to it.
Yeah, have you ever left somewhere without your phone?
Oh my gosh, it's almost like you look for your phone even before you look for your wallet
or your keys.
That's creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I leave my keys in my car, so if anyone ever wants to steal my car, just find my address and you can actually steal it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Patrick, how do we start to create boundaries?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great utilities you can use. I mean, one of the really great things is that, you know, we are reaching a point where this problem has become severe enough that the phone companies, you know, Android and Apple have started to sort of tackle this on their own, where they understand that it is becoming an issue for some of their users. And so that they are trying to provide you with some tools that you can use built right into the operating system that you can start with monitoring, finding out how much time you're spending on your device. And then from there, they give you some tools that you can use to either change the screen, limit the amount of time that you can use an app, especially for parents. I mean, you know, I'm the father of a new baby girl, and I can already see... If I hand her my phone for even 15, 20 seconds to play with, and then I take it away, she is immediately like extremely.
She gets
upset.
In
no,
it really,
really
quick.
Yes, absolutely.
And she's not even a year.
Not even a year old. And the devices have been designed to immediately elicit your attention and hold that attention for as long as possible.
Wow. This sounds like food additives. You know, when companies put things in
nice
food
analogy,
to make
Jeff.
Us eat more, it is a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like, you know, eating, you really can't stop using your phone. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have any kind of job that where you're required to answer emails or, you know, address.
Well, I think you bring up a good point about email. I, not to, you know, be non-humble in this conversation today.
Not Jeff.
I think work email is actually a simple thing to not have on your phone. For me personally, it actually has worked. And I think that's like one of those small boundaries as we start to get into more tips, as in you use your computer to check your email. And I think we're probably about to get into more strategies around that too.
Yeah. And you actually started me down the road of really trying to, outside of work, really don't, if you're going to check your phone, do it in, you know, like once or twice in the evening at specific times instead of every time that the, you know, the chime goes off, picking up your phone and checking it. And I've found in the evenings that that's been, you know, a big stress reliever for me, but just because I'm not thinking about, oh, I need to respond to this person, but I'm in the middle of cooking dinner right now. Yeah. I'll do it after I get done with dinner. I can't forget to, you know, and you sort of get an anxiety around, I need to remember to respond to this person and not forget. One of the biggest things you're talking about, Jeff, as far as not having your work email on your phone, one of the biggest things you can do is don't install the native apps for social media and email and those sorts of things. Because they're all of, if you type in the address of the service, Instagram, whatever, you can go to those services, and it's a lot more intentional if you have to open your web browser and then go to.
So it creates almost, and this is interesting because we talk a lot about habits in this and on this podcast, and something we talked about is like when you're building a good habit, like one that you want to be part of your life, you want to make it satisfying. However, when you're trying to break a bad habit, you want to make it hard to perform that habit that you're trying to break. And so I think that's a perfect example of
that's
like
a great tip,
you have to actually go to the URL. And would that automatically log you in? Because that's the one thing I like about some of these apps. Not that I'm super on social media all the time, but would you have to like enter everything in that case? Or
it depends a lot on the service, but you know, in the browser and what you can, I mean, you can, that would be another thing that you could do is tell the browser not to
remember your passwords
and
stuff,
remember your password and that kind of stuff, so that it is that extra barrier to entry.
Since we're on passwords, this is a little selfish question right now. You talk about this service that like holds these passwords. This might be a free commercial for an application out there.
Yes,
it's really interesting because I think this is how technology can help us. We're not saying technology is bad today. What we're saying is it can consume us, and we can subconsciously do behaviors that we don't want to be doing. Could you tell us about that password application?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I personally use LastPass. There's other applications like Dashlane. A lot of browsers have them built right in as well, but they can remember all of your passwords for you. And then the thing that I like about using a password manager is that I don't know any of my passwords. But if a service that you do use is compromised, then you don't have to worry about them being able to take that password and use it, you know, because the first thing that somebody who gets a password is going to do is immediately try all the major services, Amazon, Google, you know, your
it's
bank.
A scary world.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
And Patrick and I share passwords with each other, and we both have LastPass, and it allows us to, I can share my password with him. He doesn't know what it is necessarily. It gets stored in his LastPass.
How come I'm not included in this password sharing? I mean, I know our executive producer, Alan, isn't included in any password sharing. But like, I think I deserve this. He is?
He's nodding.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I mean, he doesn't have a microphone, but he is nodding.
Well, Patrick's beard is still better than our executive producers.
There we go. Okay, just to bring us back. So we've started to talk about how to create some boundaries. Anything else? How do I know how much time? I mean, you know, we talk about baseline on this podcast too, testing, retesting. Is there a way to figure out?
Yeah, so both Android and Apple have recently come out with applications built right in the operating system. If you're on the latest, greatest edition, then you've already got it installed. It may not be enabled yet, but it is installed. On Apple, you can go to an app called Screen Time. On Android, it's called Digital Wellbeing. And they allow you to go in first and see, you know, how much screen time you've got on your phone, how many unlocks you've had throughout the day, where your time is being spent on most of your apps and everything. So we could take a look at your guys' phones right now if you want and see how much time.
Let's do it.
So listeners, let's, if you would like to join us, do it along with us. Patrick is going to walk us through how to check our screen time. Pull out your phone.
If you're on an Apple device, go ahead and go into your settings and then find a setting called screen time.
Is settings that like wheel button?
It's the little gear.
Gears. Yeah. Oh, that's what that is. There we go.
If you're on Android, you're going to go into your also a gear, but your settings, and then you'll open digital well-being and parental controls. And then right there on the main window, you should see your screen time that you've been.
Uh-oh.
Would you like us to?
Yeah, let's see. Let's compare.
Well, it's a Wednesday, right?
It's a Wednesday. I'm looking at my daily average. That's what you want to know, Patrick?
Gosh. Mm-hmm.
2 hours, 41 minutes.
All right, Jeff.
5 hours, 52 minutes. How is this happening? How is this happening?
Alan's got 3 hours and 22 minutes average screen time. I've got 1 hour and 24 minutes.
How do you do that, being the director of IT?
It's not possible. I do not spend much time. It would not be the same situation if we were to look at how much screen time I have on my laptop. I don't spend that much time on my phone, actually, because I'm glued to my laptop. I'd probably have well over everybody here with screen time on my laptop.
You know, I teach fitness classes, so I think that's why mine's up.
Yeah.
I have to operate Sonos. It's a music system, another free commercial. We like it. But I need to work on this. This is really an inspiring moment for me on the Inspired Intentions podcast.
And I think, you know, just like you guys talk about with fitness and everything else, it starts with figuring out where are you, right? Are you unhappy with, you know, your usage of your digital devices? Mm-hmm. Are you unhappy with the amount of screen time that you've got recorded, the number of unlocks that you've got on your phone?
Do we know the average, even if you don't know the number, what would you have to guess? Like, do most people open up their phones and it's close to 6 hours like mine? Would you say that's probably normal?
The average,
not normal, but
the average, according to the websites that I've looked at, is around 3 hours and 15 minutes of screen time per day. And we on average, we unlock our phone anywhere between 50 and 60 times. So on mine, I've got, I think I had 64 unlocks on my phone.
Oh, so you can look at the unlocks too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Interesting. I do like these content and privacy restrictions, and it's also interesting just to kind of, you know, go back to that example of how technology is helping us, and then these companies aren't like malicious about this. They have these apps on your phone like for a reason to help you. So if you do want to make changes, you can get that baseline that we're talking about.
Right. And especially, you know, like I was talking about with my daughter, the ability, by the time that she will, you know, be old enough to have some of her own digital devices, that the parental controls will be even better. But now already I can go in and define, you know, how much screen time can she have across a bunch of different devices. So the one of the nice things about being in these ecospheres is that, you know, whether it's Android or Apple, is that you are, you know, as a parent, you will have a lot more control over, you know, what kind of screen time they're able to have throughout the day, what kind of apps they'll have access to, and all of that. So
this guy talks like a veteran parent.
he's
so new, and it seems like he already knows what he's doing.
Well, as soon as I found out she was on the way, I got her Gmail address.
Whoa.
No.
Yeah, I got
Did
her
you
all
really?
Set.
Like her name? Like first initial, last name? Or
firstname.lastname@gmail.com.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Have you sent her any emails?
Yeah. No, but that would be a really good idea to actually send her emails.
Yeah, and then she could read them when her, you know, capabilities
and you
improve.
Give her the password for her, like, 21st birthday.
I have not set up an email address for Mia.
Oh, you should
That's
do
my
it.
My daughter.
Yeah.
She must think I'm a bad dad. This is upsetting.
Patrick, if I don't have an Android or an Apple device, is there another app you would recommend that would measure that screen time?
Yeah, there's an app that's a third-party app that you can install not only on your cell phone but also on your computer called Rescue Time.
Oh.
That allows you to go in and create. You can define which domains are productive and which ones are not productive. So you can make sure that when you're opening certain apps on the computer that it's registering that you're being productive. And then you can go into what's known as focus mode, where it will literally stop you from being able to go to YouTube or, you know, NBC News or, you know, whatever kind of news service you use or anything that you find yourself
gravitating towards.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's cool. You can, like, target those triggers, basically.
Yep. Yep.
Is focus mode native to Rescue Time, or is there another way to set that on, turn that on?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think that a lot of the digital well-being apps now, and Rescue Time's not the only one. If you do a search, there's quite a few out there, but most of them do have what's known as like a focus time, where it'll put your phone into do not disturb mode, where it won't display notifications and that kind of stuff.
Can we talk more about do not disturb mode?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
mm-hmm.
something else that you would recommend that people use if they're trying to create these boundaries?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I find do not disturb mode to be invaluable. What do not disturb mode does is it basically automatically for either a given period of time or at certain period, like when your phone knows that you're doing certain things like in a meeting or whatever, you can tell it to go into do not disturb mode and it will mute. It won't alert or chime on any notifications until you take it out of do not disturb mode. And so in those cases, and even on some of the new Androids, you can actually just turn your phone face down on a table and it will automatically put it into do not disturb mode.
That's nice. I like how it is active though. Like you have to go in and change it too. I think there's benefits both ways.
I have some automatic rules set up for myself as well. So beginning at around 8 o'clock at night, I get no text messages, no notifications from anything until 6 o'clock in the morning. And then you can set, I can set like my wife, I have her, you know, sort of, She can bypass it.
So you can let certain people in where, like, if it was an emergency.
Right. Mm. If you're calling me at 4 o'clock in the morning, I definitely want to receive that call. So you can you can make sure that those sorts of important things will get through.
Can we go to your office after this podcast and, you know, fix my phone?
Yes, absolutely.
When else would you recommend that we use do not disturb mode? Like, do you use it during the workday? And is that why sometimes I can't get a hold of you?
You can link it up to when your scheduled meetings are in Google Calendar so that, you know, you do end up with your phone's not going off in the middle of a meeting and distracting you while you're, you know, trying to take care of whatever you're discussing with someone. But yeah, other than that, I like to use it. Especially let's say if I'm sometimes when I'm doing training, especially when I'm watching like a video or something like that, that I really need to maintain focus on, I'll put my phone into do not disturb mode at those points as well.
You use that a lot. Would you say that if we're thinking about lowest hanging fruit for people to start to create those boundaries, is that a really good place to start?
That's a really, really good place to start because I think that the number one problem, whether you're on social media or not, if you have a device, you're receiving some sort of notification from your apps on your phone. And the do not disturb is sort of a blanket. I'm going to turn everything
completely off. Completely eliminates it all.
Exactly.
And I think that that's a good point because I have turned off all of like the rings and stuff, even like text messages. In order for me to see a text message, I have to go into my phone and like look at my text messages. But you still do get alerts if it's not on this do not disturb mode.
Yeah, and if you want to get more nuanced with it, you can go through and set up specific apps, you know, so that things that you do want to have come through, you know, if you do have apps that are higher priority that you do want to receive notifications from, you can still receive those.
Like when your coworker is trying to message you on Google Hangout. Patrick, before we wrap up, I have a last question for you. And could you tell us what is a distraction-free homepage?
A distraction-free homepage. So basically, one of the things, instead of, like I had talked about going to the web page, one thing that you could do, if you do want to keep the native apps installed on your phone, you can just move them off of the homepage on your phone.
Ooh.
So just putting it on that second page, some people, a lot of times too, will put it in a folder.
I have folders.
I have
lots of folders.
So if you put it in a folder, it just it makes it that app icon is not readily you're making an intentional action where you're going onto that second page, opening a folder, and then opening the app, which can then again just add that barrier to entry. Where if it's not really important that you open that app at the moment, it just makes it a little less likely.
That's so helpful.
The other thing that you can do too would be blue light filters built right into the phone.
Yes.
So I know that they do make, you know, eyeglasses and stuff like that, but without having to invest in the glasses, most of the phones do have a mode built into the digital well-being. Well, it will start to, you can turn down the blue light LEDs in the phone itself.
And a lot of the phones are like naturally doing it now too, I think. Like some of the factory settings of like those newer phones. I don't know. Like, does it, I don't know if you've seen research though, does it have, like, it's still probably not okay to be on our phone for 3 hours into the evening time, regardless of like the light changes?
I think the main best advice would be not to have many digital devices on and in your face, you know, the hour or so before you're getting ready to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Man.
So in summary, aliens exist.
They do.
They think.
Can't wait to ask my questions.
They think our phones are controlling us, but to create some boundaries with our digital devices, a couple of really great tips from Patrick, which would be, don't install the native apps like the Facebook app and the Instagram app directly on your phone. Go to the website instead. That's going to make it a little bit more intentional. Use a password manager. And one that Patrick mentioned was LastPass, although there are others out there. Take a look at the measurement of your screen time. Take a look at your usage stats. There are also parental controls that you can activate. Use do not disturb mode. That's what Patrick thinks is the lowest hanging fruit. And then this concept of distraction-free home pages, where you are, again, intentionally going to any app that might distract you. You don't have anything on your home page. Keep your apps in folders like Jeff. How did I do, Patrick?
You did great.
Did we miss anything?
No, I don't think so.
This has been great. Really helpful.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
We're going to get over to your office now here pretty soon.
Sounds perfect.
So don't go anywhere, please.
No problem.
The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into